But I have a word that the Lord has given to me, and before we get into it, let's just pray. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for this word that you've given to me. And, Lord, I know that you've also given it to your people, and I pray, Lord, that as I decrease, that you would increase, that you would be glorified, you would be high and lifted up by the power of your Spirit. I ask that you would help me to clearly articulate what it is that you gave me, Lord, so that your people will be blessed, that they will be edified, but that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. How many of you know that we live in a time where, regardless of where you turn, there's chaos and there's confusion, there's fighting, there's infighting, there's fighting on the world scale, there's wars, there's rumors of wars. Surely you can't turn on the news or even use your handheld device because the news has gotten away, and I haven't quite figured it out, but I guess I set it up where, you know, they'll give you a news flash. You know, anybody know what I'm talking about? Your phone, you know, bam, there it is. You know, this is breaking news. And this breaking news always has something to do with turmoil, chaos, confusion, war. Very seldomly do we hear about the positive things about you know, the young man helping the elderly lady across the street or in some form of somebody doing an act of service. That doesn't make breaking news, does it? That's not breaking news because that doesn't sell. But chaos and confusion and fear is really what sells. If I can push some news to the people that will cause them to pause and to reflect, whether it be true or false, then it has the ability to impact the emotions. I don't know about you, but for me, it can impact my emotions. And we know what's in the news this past week, and the buzz is going on about what's going on in Washington, D.C., and we have our leader, the President of the United States, is overseas in Vietnam, and he's over there for what? Some peace talks. Everybody's talking about peace. Peace. Yet and still, the skeptics, you know, say, well, it's not possible for us to have peace with these and those and they. It's just not possible. But yet and still, we have world peace organizations. We have all kinds of organizations that are pursuing peace. Yet and still, we have chaos. Yet and still, we spend an enormous amount of money worldwide on creating bombs, weapons of mass destruction. All the while, we're talking about peace. Maybe you know of some individuals. Maybe they're popular. They're superstars or whatever that are hooked on narcotics or some form of substance because they're just trying to get some peace. We know of a very famous individual that left this world trying to get some peace. All he wanted to do was to get a good night's sleep. To the point where he hired a medical professional to put him to sleep just so that he could get peace. So why is it that we don't have peace? Why is it that the world is so chaotic? We know because it goes back to the garden. We understand that when God created the heavens and the earth and when he created man, and we understand when Adam and Eve was in the garden, and we know that when they disobeyed God, we know that peace on earth as they knew it did not exist again. And as a result of that, the enemy put chaos and confusion into the atmosphere, into the people's hearts. Therefore, there was no peace. We have people today that are trying to medicate themselves, trying to find peace, but they can't find peace. And why is that? Well, because we know that in the beginning, because of the disobedience of Adam and of Eve, God did some things. He laid some things out as a result of them eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So we know that regardless of how the psychologists and how the experts try to analyze why there's no peace on earth, we know that ultimately the reason why there is no peace is because of sin. Amen. There is no peace because of sin. And we know that man, regardless of how he searches and where he searches, he'll not find peace until he has peace with God. So we can blame this one and that one and the other one, but ultimately the issue is man is at war with his creator, with God. And until he comes to the realization that he has a creator and he submits to the creator, he'll be in turmoil. He'll search high and low trying to find this peace that is so evasive that even when he thinks he has it and he's apprehended it, it's fleeting and it's gone. So Jesus is saying here in John chapter 14, this right here is what he left to his disciples before he went through what he had to go through. He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So Jesus, before he left his disciples and before he went into what he had to deal with, he was warning his disciples about what was to come. Yet and still they were so conflicted, they didn't fully understand and could not comprehend and did not even want to receive what he was saying when he said, "This is what's going to happen to the Son of Man." But instead of him leaving them some materialistic thing, he thought enough of them to say, "My peace, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. My peace I leave unto you. Not as the world gives, I give unto you." So that right there tells me that there has to be two different types of peace. There's the peace that Jesus gave, and then there's the peace that the world gives. So I think we need to peel that back. But we know that man desiring this peace will try to do whatever he can to obtain the peace. But how many of us know that your money can't buy peace? Your title, your influence cannot purchase peace. And Jesus lays this out that until we have peace with God, we can't even have peace. Isaiah 53, starting at verse 5, it says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." So no matter how you try, no matter where you look, if you're looking somewhere other than in Jesus Christ, who's the way, the truth, and the life, there'll never be peace. because he's the Prince of Peace. He didn't just give them peace. He is peace. So in a sense, he was saying, I'm giving you myself. And we know that he was getting ready to be poured out for us. In Romans 5:1, it says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in Ephesians 2:14, it says, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. So Jesus is our peace. So we have the peace with God, and then we have the peace of God. And those of us that have experienced a new birth, those of us that have been born again, those of us that have accepted the prescribed way to God has received and received Christ, has received this peace. So why is it then that we act like the world when things begin to shake and things begin to move or things begin not to go our way? We come undone because, see, we can expect it of the world because the world doesn't have peace. They'll never have peace until they come into relationship with Jesus Christ. But for those of us who say we've come into a relationship with Jesus, we've accepted him as our Lord and Savior, now we find our position in him. Therefore, we have access to the Prince of Peace. And the Prince of Peace is not only with us, but he's in us. Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. See, in the kingdom of God, we don't have to worry about anything. In the kingdom of God, we don't have to worry about anything because the Prince of Peace dwells on the inside of us. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. John 14:27, Jesus said to the disciples, which I said already, peace I leave with you. He said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, I give unto you. And then he says, let not your hearts be troubled, and neither let them be afraid. So we know that God gave them his peace. Now, they had a responsibility to receive his peace. And as a result of receiving his peace, we know that they were not going to be afraid or troubled. Amen. Amen. Are you troubled about something this morning? Are you afraid of something this morning? I don't know about you, but it doesn't take much to get me to come undone. I wish I could sit up here and say that you know what? On a daily basis, 24/7, I'm just walking in his peace. See, because sometime I want to go grab my peace. Oh, I can't say that, can I? Well, some of y'all missed that. But see, fear will cause you to resort to that. Because, see, the peace that Jesus gives us is not the peace that the world gives us. So that means that his ways are not the world's ways. But I don't know about you, but when we found out that they were going to start messing around with ammo, how many of y'all got their stockpile? I'm trying to take my gun. Right? Why? Because we're double-minded in some ways, and I'm not trying to, you know, get off into that too deep, but my point is we have to be very careful. That before we go responding like the world responds because of the news and because of the threats, that we don't resort to the way the world does business, because we're in the kingdom of God. We have the power. We have the Prince of Peace. We have the Omnipotent One, the Omniscient One. We have the All-Powerful One.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Thank you for that, Jesus. So what is peace? Let's define that real quick. What is peace? Peace in the Greek is this word, eirene, eirene. Yeah, it's pretty deep right there. I worked on that. And it represents the idea of wholeness and completeness or tranquility in the soul that is unaffected by outward circumstances or pressures. It strongly suggests the rule of order in the place of chaos. So when a person is dominated by eirene, peace has a calming effect. Something that's working on the inside of an individual that results in the ability to conduct ourselves in a peaceful manner. How many of you have ever been faced with a chaotic situation that if you would have thought about it previous to it occurring, you know, we all said it from time to time, you know, if that happened to me, this is what I would do. And it is not a peaceful solution. Yet and still, when that thing happened to you, all of a sudden you're like, what is going on here? I am supposed to be coming undone. When my sister went to be with the Lord from MS, multiple sclerosis, I mean, I researched this thing day and night trying to find a solution or the special this and that and the other that would help her. Yet she left this earth. And when I was away from home, when I got the phone call, and when I got the news, it was this peace that came over me that surpassed my understanding. Amen. This calming peace that even though in my flesh, I wanted to come undone. I wanted to ask God some questions. Yet and still I had this peace. Anybody experience that peace? Anybody know what I'm talking about? When you've gone through a chaotic situation and in your flesh, you know you. I mean, you know you. I'll never forget, I was over here at the high school and watching a baseball game and some things went down. Gentleman was drinking and consuming some alcohol and all of a sudden, one of the parents said something to his son, but to make a long story short, the dad came over, he had consumed alcohol, and he wanted to fight. He wanted to fight. And I was trying to calm my buddy down, who's about 6'3", 6'4", you know, 3'10". And the gentleman that was just pushing up on him was about 5'5". But he was mad. It's amazing what alcohol will do to you. I mean, in his mind, he was big as, you know, he was huge. But initially, fear kind of like crept in because I hadn't been in a situation like this in a long time, since way back in the day. And I wish I could tell you that I was walking in God's peace, but for a minute there, I was checking out my shoes. I was like, man, I ain't got the right shoes on for this. I mean, I'm assessing the battlefield. You understand? I'm like, okay, all right. He ain't trying to give up on this. So back in the day, in the Philly days, we don't even want to go back there, but the way I learned was like, why you talking? Boop, there you go, it's over with. So I was having some flashbacks. See, y'all Christians, man, y'all don't have flashbacks like that. And I'm sitting up here thinking about my shoes, but then all of a sudden, it's like the Holy Spirit reminded me, like, man, your feet are supposed to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You mean not my peace? Which peace you talking about? I'm just kidding. But I asked this man a question. I asked him, a soft answer turns away wrath, does it not? So while my buddy, he was escalating, it was going somewhere. I was looking at my shoes, and then all of a sudden I came to my senses and I asked the gentleman a question. I said, sir, can I ask you a question? Like, what's your end state? What are you trying to accomplish here? And it's amazing how the peace that I was now walking in came over him. And even though he was still under the influence, he was like, well, I just want somebody to apologize to my son. My point is this. We're supposed to be carriers of God's peace. We're not supposed to lean to our own understanding. But because we're supernatural beings, when somebody smack you upside the head, the first thing we respond to is the flesh. Because the flesh is like, ow. Are you with me? But we're supposed to be carriers of the peace of God, and therefore carriers of Jesus Christ and his peace and in his power and his way of doing things, because the scripture tells us that a soft answer turns away wrath, and it worked that time. Another word for peace is shalom. In the Jewish people, this is a precious word, and it means more than just the absence of war and distress. For the Jewish people, it's a greeting. It means wholeness, completeness, health, security, and even prosperity in the best sense. See, those of us who find our identity in Jesus Christ, we can have confidence that we have the Prince of Peace and this peace that surpasses our understanding. Therefore, we don't need to get undone in a chaotic world and in chaotic situations and circumstances. Now, we just went through a trying time here in Eastern North Carolina. Really, all over our country, whether it's in North Carolina or Florida or California. Can you imagine the devastation? Some of us know that up close and personal. Think back and examine your response when you looked at your home and your belongings, realizing that you didn't have what you thought you needed in order to cover your loss. I experienced it with a lot of folks. But I got a friend, a brother. It was amazing to see how the peace of God was on his life in the midst of the loss. And I think I told you this before, that we left. So when the governor or the mayor was like, get out. We were like, deuces. You ain't got to tell me twice. I'm like, baby, we gone. And they're right. But we had some people that got another word. It was like, stay. Okay, cool. We gone. But you know, I'm not really a Facebook person. But as I look back and I saw the fact that on Facebook, as he walked through his home and it was flooded with water and all this other stuff, I told you this before, he was like, but you know what? Look at all this water, but God is good. Amen. And he wasn't faking it. And now today, he's back in his home. He's back in his home, and I know that many of you are still working on that. But let the peace of God guard your heart. Let the peace of God fill you. He's the provider. He knows what we need before we even ask. So let's just lean on him. Galatians 5:22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things, there is no law. See, peace and joy is synonymous. There's no way you can have the peace of God without having the joy that God gives. Amen. And joy is something that's on the inside. When the peace from a world's perspective is dependent upon happiness. How many of us have caught ourselves saying, all I want to be is happy. Happy, happy, happy. They even made a song about it. Now, I'm not saying that as believers we can't experience the happiness of God, but we don't rely on happiness because we know that happiness is fleeting. It's there 1 minute, but all it takes is one person to take your parking spot and there it goes. I'm no longer happy. Isn't it amazing? now Christmas Day, we can open all the packages and everybody's happy and we're filming and we're Facebook. But then when we get to January and the bills start coming in, there go your happiness. Because see, joy brings contentment.
Amen. Hallelujah. There you go.
It brings contentment. That's what it does. But happiness, we need to be very, very careful how we use that word happy. Because after being married for 30 years to my lovely bride. Okay, I know you think I'm going somewhere. But she looking at me like, Go on with your bad self. See, joy is produced by God.
Amen.
Joy comes from God.
Amen.
This peace that the world gives, it's fleeting.
Amen.
It's a counterfeit.
Amen.
How many of you, by a show of hands, like buying counterfeit stuff? Don't raise your hands. Because I know there's a few of y'all in here that was over in a geographical location that was trying to get to another geographical location because you knew what it was all about. But isn't it amazing how we settle for less? Isn't it amazing how it's so easy for us to just settle for an imitation, not the real deal? You know what I'm talking about, them folks walking around with them pocketbooks that spell coach and you know it's supposed to be couch or couch and it's supposed to be coach. Bottom of their shoes been painted with red spray paint. What in the world is going on? But God is saying, I don't want you to be caught up in an imitation. I don't want you to do as the world does to try to get this stuff that perishes and it rots and it fades and it does these things. We'll do whatever many times to get imitation stuff. Some people even said the shoes that Zion was wearing wasn't the real deal. I know who I'm talking about. Zion Williams, the player from Duke, how his shoe just split in half.
Yep, yep, yep.
Yes, ma'am, his shoe just, while he was playing, brand new shoe. Because see, many times the fake and the imitation stuff, it doesn't last. But God is saying, I want you to have the real deal. 2 Peter 1:2, he says, may grace and perfect peace cascade over you as you live in the rich knowledge of God in Jesus Christ, our Lord. See, God doesn't want us to have phony, fake peace. He wants us to have perfect peace. He wants us to have the real deal, not as the world gives. He said, I give it to you. No. I want you to have the peace that I give that's going to work on the inside of you first. So in the midst of chaos and confusion, this calm will come over you and they'll look at you and say, why aren't you coming undone? I mean, this is the part. I'll never forget it. I was on a plane, C-130, going from Guam to Australia. On a C-130 full of equipment. I got on the plane and a buddy of mine was sitting there and he had this figure around his neck that was red and had a big belly. And I said, yo, what's that all about? He says, oh yeah, me. I was like, okay, cool. So I sat down in my seat, plane took off, got my word in my hand, I'm all prayed up. All of a sudden, we see the Air Force, they run to the back, then they run to the front, then they run to the side, you know. See, I'm picking up on this stuff. I'm from Philly, right? Situational awareness, something's going wrong. So I just began to pray. All of a sudden, we heard the sound nobody wants to hear on a C-130 that have two motors, propeller, on either side, and we heard the sound that nobody wants to hear, and that was engine shut down. So I'm praying in the spirit. He reaches over and he says, hey, Odell, you praying? I'm like, yeah, I'm praying. He's like, pray for me. I said, what's up with him? He's like, oh, no, man. Oh, now you don't want to boast and, you know, kiss your little fat man. See, because that's imitation. That's not the real deal. See, I have a relationship. This peace that we have in Jesus Christ is not based on resources. It's based on a relationship. So thanks be to God, I had some words I was clinging to, Vito. I knew God had spoken some things over my life. So I was like, yeah, man, we're going to be all right. I said, at least I know I'm going to be all right because God done spoke some words over my life that hadn't came to pass. So even if we crash, I know I'm going to be like the Apostle Paul. I'm getting ashore. You know what I'm saying? Who are you relying on this morning? Huh? No, I want a relationship with the Prince of Peace, the real deal, authentic Jesus Christ, who gives a peace that surpasses our understanding, that we can't even explain it when I'm supposed to come undone because of the situation and circumstances surrounding me. This peace, I can't even explain it. Have you experienced that peace? Maybe you're facing something today. And even as we talk, as I share this, the peace of God is coming over you because right now you're recalibrating your attitude and your posture to say, wait a minute, my position, even though I'm in Jacksonville, North Carolina, facing this situation, my true position is seated in heavenly places with Jesus Christ. That's what he said. He said that I'm seated in heavenly places with him. Therefore, I'm in him. I see what's going on. Okay, God, I'm going to walk in this peace, amen. The peace of God, amen. The peace of God. But then in the midst of walking in the peace, we have to deal with some thorns. Thorns in the Bible is symbolic of the curse for sin. And Jesus said it. He said it in Genesis chapter 3, 17 through 19. And it reads, he says to Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. And through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. And it will produce thorns and thistles for you. And you will eat the plants of the field. And by the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground. The Bible refers to thorns as a symbolic representation of sin and the curse, but it also ties into people. Because in Judges 2 and 3, it reads, it says, now therefore I tell you that I will not drive them out before you. They will be thorns in your sides, and their gods will be a snare to you. See, this text is talking about wicked men. Amen. Because they disobeyed God, now they were amongst a people that God said, because you didn't obey me and do what I told you to do, now these people are going to be a thorn in your side. Do you have any people in your life that you consider to be a thorn in your side? Amen. They serve a purpose. And the purpose of these thorns is, in many cases, is a defense mechanism. And if you look at a rose, you see how beautiful the rose is, but yet and still it has thorns. And I did just a little bit of research on this, and they said that sometimes we have to be very, very careful with thorns because the tips of thorns carry bacteria. That if you get pricked by a thorn and don't take care of the wound, it can get infected. Isn't that like the world? It's trying to infect us. It's trying to infect the believer. Even though we know that we have the peace of God, it's constantly trying to steal our joy and to steal our peace. So how do we have peace in the midst of the thorns? How do we maintain peace in the midst of the thorns? Jesus has something to say about it. The Apostle Paul said, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Why? Because the Apostle Paul was writing this epistle from prison. Yet and still, he's writing to the church of Philippi, and he's telling them, because they have some confusion, they have some chaos going on. Yet and still, he warns them, and he says, listen, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. So in the midst of the thorns, we need to rejoice. Let's not allow the thorns of life that many cases come by people in situations and circumstance to infect us with unbelief and begin to respond as the world responds. Verse 6, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So what causes us to lose our peace? Anxiousness, anxiety. Anybody infected with anxiety this morning? You're a believer, but yet and still we have this anxiousness about a major decision that's coming up. I don't know about you, but in my household, we got a transition going on. And it's nothing like watching your children go through a transition when things don't go like you thought they would, or maybe even like you thought they should. Anybody in that situation this morning? Maybe on your job, you're facing some transition there. When I before I joined the Marine Corps, I worked at a company, and it was their practice that right before the holidays they would lay you off. Anybody ever experienced that? You're trying to get your money together, and they just lay you off. That caused some anxiety. If you're going through a transition, maybe in your relationships, and you're wondering how are you going to make it. When you've depended on this individual, you've been linked up and yoked up with this individual, and you've committed to this individual, yet and still your relationship is being dissolved right before your eyes, and you're wondering, how am I gonna make it when I don't have an education? When in many cases, when it comes to divorce, the statistics are astounding. When it talks about the fact that many women still in America who are homemakers and rely on the provision of their husbands, that in their middle age, when they get divorced, they have to start all over again. But they put all these things on the back burner. And now they face a time in their life, at the midlife. Anybody in that situation? But yet and still, the Apostle Paul says, don't be anxious for anything. Amen. But he says, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, just pray. Just go to the Father. Go to the Father. God has given us, many times we look at prayer from a perspective of just going to God and asking for things. Making our request known, when prayer is what God has given to the church to develop an intimate relationship with him. Remember, the peace of God is predicated on relationship. We know he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. We know that all provision comes from him. We know that promotion comes from him. Yet and still, he says prayer with prayer, supplication. We can make a specific prayer request to God. God, this is my situation. This is what I desire. God, I bring this before you. But then the Apostle Paul goes on to say, with thanksgiving. Amen. With thanksgiving, that's thanking him, being thankful for what we have, where we are, having contentment, because the Apostle Paul, once again, was in prison. Amen. Yet and still, he has this attitude. And even from prison, he's still reaching out, trying to encourage the people. Amen. And then the scripture goes on and it says, let your request be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. See, the number one thorn that the enemy throws at us, he wants to get us to walk in unbelief. Believing that God is not faithful to do what he said he would do. And he wants to attack our mind. He wants to get in our mind, our thought process, to begin to become unstable. And we know that the Bible says a double-minded person, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. How many of you know someone who was getting ready to make a bad decision because they were anxious? They couldn't wait on God. They began to look at the circumstances. They began to read the press. They were listening to the news. They were listening to the people around them, and it wasn't godly counsel. So they made a move, and you knew it was a bad move. I'll never forget there was a gentleman in this church when we first got here, and God didn't, you know, up to this point, he didn't typically speak to me this way, but this was a moment of faith that I had to walk in where I know the Holy Spirit told me to go tell that brother he is not supposed to leave Jacksonville, North Carolina. I was like, what? Because this was a prideful brother, just like me. So it takes one to know one. Are you with me? I know how I would have responded. Somebody's going to walk up to me. I'm planning for my family. I'm the king of my castle, right? I'm taking care of my business. So I obeyed God, and I went to this man, took everything in me to go to him. And when I went to him and I told him what I believed Jesus or the Holy Spirit was telling me to share with him, he laughed in my face. Ha, ha, he, hee, ho, ho. But I had peace.
Amen.
I obeyed God.
Amen.
I left. He left. And I asked him a question before I left. I said, I just got one question for you. How does your wife feel about this move? Because how many of us know that God has given us our brides? Whoo, as our peace many times when we get anxious. And he's like, doesn't really matter. About a year later, I was renovating my bathroom. He called me on a Saturday. And when I picked up the phone, he said, Odell! I was like, yes! I just got to tell you this. Since I left Jacksonville, I've been going through hell. I thought because of my education, I could move to Atlanta. And I would transition right into a job. But I haven't been able to find a job. They keep telling me I'm overqualified because he had a master's degree. As a result of that decision and what he was facing in Atlanta, he had to take a job like in Detroit somewhere, leave his family, bought a home right before the market crashed. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The housing market crashed. And now he was stuck upside down in this $300,000 home needing to pay his mortgage. So he had to leave his family and go all the way to Detroit just to get a job. And he called me back to tell me, man, you were right. He didn't have to tell me that. I know I was obedient to God. I was walking in obedience. I had the peace of God. But he reached back around just to let me know, you know what? That was a warning from God. So how many of you are getting ready to make a decision? You're getting ready to get out of the Marine Corps. You're getting ready to make a transition because of this, that, and the other. And you're listening. Maybe you're saying, you know, I'm going to get out of the Marine Corps. We dealt with it all the time. I'm getting out of the Marine Corps. Okay, what you going to do? I'm going to school. Okay, how much school have you done since you've been in? None. So it's been fully funded. You've had the margin, the opportunity to go, and you didn't go, but now you're going to get out to go and pursue something that you didn't even do while you were in. Something's wrong with that. So as a leader, we try to counsel them, right? Give them some wisdom. But they step off anyway. And y'all know the story. Some of y'all may have done that. But God's grace is still with you, even in the midst of the madness. Thanks be to God, right? I got partners that's overseas. I got one partner, he went overseas. Said God was sending him to Iraq. I'm like, okay, went through all the training. Man, we prayed for this brother. We sent him on up out of here. You know, I mean, sent him off. I mean, I don't even think he was in country 24 hours before he was on his way back. Before we could even miss him, Sylvester, he was back. Wait a minute, wait, did you leave yet? Yeah, man, I can't. That ain't for me. Oh, no. Them boom, boom, boom. No, no. Get me on the next thing out of here. You keep your $100,000. How many people making decisions because of money? You chasing money. You leaving your family. And you're doing it under the umbrella of, oh, I'm providing for my family, so I'm going to go to Iraq or Afghanistan. Ain't nothing pretty about war. Even if you behind in a supply roll, them bombs still be traveling. Are you with me? So you better be on a mission being sent. The Apostle Paul, he was going to go visit some folks in the scripture. And the two prophets, they did a tied themselves up, and it was like, yeah, this was going to happen if you go over there. And it wasn't that they were afraid of being persecuted or facing that. But what they did was they listened to what God was saying through these women, right? These anointed women of God, and they shifted. Boom. Now the Holy Spirit was able to speak to them and send them to where they were supposed to go. How many of us know that if we're in the kingdom of God, we don't go where we want to go? We go where we're sent. And if we understand it in the natural, because when you get them orders from the government, you just go. Skipping and a hopping whether you want to go or not. It's either go or go. Go where I tell you or go home. You better be prayed up. You better be seeking God before we go making these decisions. And what causes us to make these decisions? Again, anxiousness. I'm thinking, what am I going to do? People expect me to be doing this, that, and the other because of their opinion about me. Now, thanks be to God and the kingdom of God, we have the prophetic ministry that's alive and well. And the scripture tells us it's for edification, consolation, and comfort. So we can operate in that. But you even need to check that. Because you got everybody prophesying and everybody coming to you with the word, and you got to try that word by the Spirit. Amen. Coming up in here telling me I'm getting ready to die in 24 months. Like, what? Where is this coming from? I'm not receiving that. Don't just let anybody speak over your life. Don't do that. So how do we maintain this peace in the midst of the thorns is that we have to abide in him. Jesus said, I am the true vine. You are the branches. Abide in me and I will abide in you. So that's how we do it. And the Apostle Paul is saying, pray. Be thankful. And then he wraps it up. He says, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. This word guard right here also means umpire. That it will be the umpire over your heart and your mind. Amen. Heart and mind. Amen. What is that? What's an umpire? That means whatever we have as a request, as we present it to God, it's like throwing a pitch. Pow! And the umpire is like, strike, safe, or out. Now, you can throw them by me. Your decisions, godly counsel is profitable. But ultimately, we got to submit our request to God with an open palm. God, this is what I want to do. God, I want to, can you confirm this? Some people say you lay out a fleece, right? Well, do whatever works for you. My point is you need to inquire of God before you make this decision. Because money should not drive our decisions. Because God is a provider, is he not? So we want to submit our requests. And then we want to wait on God. We don't need to be afraid of the thorns of life. Because God has given us his peace, which he says surpasses our understanding. Therefore, we can stay right there in the midst of his peace. But how many of us know when things don't go our way, We have a tendency to get depressed, have a pity party. Woe is me. God's forgotten me. Anybody ever been there before? I have. Never forget, I got passed over for Gunny. Had everything lined up. Did everything they told me to do. Sacrificed, you know, time with my family. And the first time I came in zone, I got passed over. Hurt me to my heart. Almost killed me. It was that painful. Thanks be to God, I had a woman of God who was steadfast. I was all over the place. The worst thing that I had to do was to call my father and say, Dad, I got some bad news. It was wrong, son. I said, I got passed over. He was like, what's that? I ain't get promoted, Dad. He was like, what's wrong, boy? You sound like you lost your best friend. He said, you say you got Jesus. And if you got Jesus, that's enough. I was like, you're right. I got Jesus. So now I can just rejoice, even though I was still hurting. So now when people came up and said, Odell, how you doing? I said, I'm hurting, but I'm good. Because I know that all things work together for them that love God and are called according to his purposes. So I know that I love God and I know that I'm called according to his purpose. Therefore, everything's got to go well with me. So what are you dealing with today? What decision do you have to make today? What's on your heart today? What has you anxious today? Has fear infected your soul and in your heart and in your mind where you begin to believe that God's promises are not sure? Then we're believing the same lie that the enemy put on Eve in the garden to make her think that God was withholding something good from her. And we know that God will withhold no good gift from his children. What are you facing today, ladies and gentlemen? What's got you anxious? What's have you allowed to steal your joy? Anything? First of all, we have to make sure that we have peace with God. And then we have to make sure that we're walking in the peace of God. And the only way we can do that is by depending on the Holy Spirit, which in this passage, previous passage, Jesus told them that he was going to send them a comforter. That who would lead and guide them into all truth and remind them of the things that Jesus has spoken. So there's a reason why we need to be reminded, because we're like sheep. We just go astray. Yet and still, God is saying, I got your back. Amen. I got you.